And then later on, the all-night sits were incentivized. So the this was when I must have been two vasas. It must have been somewhere around there that Longpo Pasano had learned Qigong in Thailand at Nanachat or something. So somebody visited at England as well. And so there were a few of us who wanted to learn Qigong from him. So it was winter retreat. I said, okay, well, I'll teach it after the 3 a.m. chanting every week. Anybody who wants to learn Qigong can learn it after the 3 a.m. chanting. And so there was a handful of us, and Debbie was there. There was an Anakarika. I might have been a novice. I can't remember. But Anakarika Adam Kane was there. And yeah, there was a handful of us in the house doing Qigong, maybe five of us. And it was kind of learn a new move each week. But it was really good because then we were very awake. We were very awake after doing the Qigong. And then it was easy to stay up till dawn. So it's kind of like you push yourself and do this, but then it was actually really beneficial and made it actually easier to stay up and got your energy going and you felt really balanced. And so, yeah, that's I still do that Qigong today, learning it all those years ago. It's been a very good practice, and something can be integrated into the practice, can be very helpful with the sitting meditation practice, and also just for waking up in the morning, can be very helpful to wake up in the morning and do some Qigong, do a routine. I know eventually Longpo Pasano had to stop doing Qigong because of his hip issues, but then he was missing the Qigong after a few years of not doing it, and then he forgot it. So then he asked me to teach him what he taught me in terms of the Qigong. I remember that was at a first two. That was at Berkeley. That was at Berkeley Buddhist Monastery. Yeah, it's a. It's kind of one of the benefits if you teach somebody something. If you forget it, they can teach it back to you.